You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
As I close this great chapter and go into the letter to the Corinthians, again answering questions that have been put to him by these relative new Christians. They struggled with many issues, but among them, I would suggest that the most serious is immaturity, which is the inability to think with a mature mind. So it's no wonder that he writes to this church in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, that you cast down imaginations. To speak of mental maturity means absencing oneself from the foolish thoughts that the enemy puts in your mind. How is it that you can be driving down the street and he can interject a thought in your mind against your pastor and you find that even though I've done nothing to you, you can't stand me because of an imagination? He has convinced someone in this great auditorium that I'm speaking to you. I don't even know you're here. And yet you think that I'm speaking about you? How do I even know that you're going through this? You all know me. After preaching, I leave. I don't talk to people. Could it be that you're angry with God, but taking it out on me? Now, you really don't want to do that, because God is nicer than me. See, God will take you getting in his face, and God will take you telling him off because he's merciful. I'm not. I'm Jamaican. So if you're angry with God, take it out on him. In the course of my ministry about 15 years ago, a woman came to Christ, gave her heart to Jesus, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And over a course of time, through sitting in classes and learning, decided she did not want to partake in a lifestyle that was not pleasing the Lord. Her husband became furious that his wife was no longer the party girl that he had met. He asked her what church she went to. She told him, Bethel. He called and spoke to me. As the Lord would have it, someone had it, that I was in my office. No one else was there. It was a Saturday. The phone rang. I answered. He said, is Pastor Lambert there? I said, yes, this is Pastor Lambert. How may I serve you? He said, I don't like what you did to my wife. I said, what did I do? You got her all religious. She wants to come to Jesus. She don't want to party with me no more. I said, oh, sir. I said, the work of the church is to lead men and women to the cross where they can have an encounter with Jesus. I'm trying to be a Christian. He kept looking for the button to push. How dare you turn my wife into this church girl? Yes, sir. How dare you preach this gospel that's causing her to give up the fun that we always had? Yes, sir. Nothing against me. This is all against God. And then he uttered the immortal words. You better be lucky I don't see you. I said, sir, where are you? He said, I live in such and such a place in Camden, New Jersey. I said, I will be there in 30 minutes. And I went. And he wasn't there. It was my intention to introduce him to Jesus, to share the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I didn't tell a deacon, I didn't tell an elder, I didn't tell a minister. I told no one because my street sense said, no witnesses. The point that I make is that the enemy will attack our minds and make us think that someone is really coming against us when he was really fighting the Lord in me. I would not have fought that man. That would have been a poor example of Christ. But I would have taken him to lunch, and I would have sat with him over a nice milkshake. I would have discovered if he was diabetic, and if he was, I would have gotten him a strawberry milkshake and extra fries with cheese on it. I would not have done anything egregious to him. So God wouldn't let me do it. But when our minds are renewed, we think differently. Paul says to cast down imaginations. We can't let our minds run away with us. Cast them down. Notice the verb casting down there. It has an ing, and the rule is anything in the King James with an ing means it's an ongoing action. So Paul suggests that you and I should be constantly casting down imaginations that are contrary to Christ, bringing my mind under subjection to the Holy Spirit. He does not stop there. He says that you and I must also take every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that comes in my mind contrary to what I know about God, I'm to cast it down and then get more knowledge about God so that my little fleshly thoughts never rise above the grandeur, the greatness, the enormity of my God. Our God is not small. There is nothing defeated about him. Do not allow the enemy to ever convince you that God has abandoned you. He told us through Isaiah that I have written your name in the palm of my hand. That must be a big hand. But I know Eric is right there in the middle. And every time he looks at his hand, he sees Eric's name. And he dispatches an angel and says, go take care of my boy. Take care of my boy. And he does the same with you. Never let the enemy tell you that God doesn't love you. He has written your name in the palm of his hand. Paul concludes. It says, then you must bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. From whence do our thoughts originate? Socialization, our environment, and now one of the largest contributors of our thought process is social media. We actually think we are what Facebook says we are. Your profile picture is supposed to be definitive of you. You want everybody to think that's what you are. You say things on Facebook that you know are not true because we can't prove it. There is a desire, a longing for status as well as comedy. Some of you are saying, Pastor, don't take it seriously. Why not? Do you understand what's happening? That we're being ripped into a culture that takes time away from God? You say, oh, but it's also being used to bring people to Christ. Really? What's next, Christian? A bar ministry? And while I chug gin and tonic, I'm telling the person next to me about Jesus? Have we become so convoluted in our thinking that we've accepted the principles of the world as long as somebody gets saved? Paul said, I'm to cast all those things down. He speaks to a discipline of the mind, a thought process that once it is successful, it never leaves. It is a battle that we are not going to win easily. I say this regularly in many different climates and many different settings because it's valid. That your mind consists of active and passive. Your active mind is listening to me right now. But your active mind is only 3% of your total mind. 3% of your mind is active, listening to me. 97% of your mind is unconscious. It is the accumulation of everything that has happened to you all of your life. It is where your fears originate. It is where your possibilities exist. You can look at something right now and that 3% says, I can do it. But then somewhere in the 97%, you say, hold it, I tried that before. Failing to realize you're a different person now. And so deep in the recesses of our unconscious mind, our doubt exists. This is scripturally proven on two occasions. One, in Mark's gospel, when Jesus comes down and the epileptic boy is struggling, and Jesus now takes the case history. How long has he been like that? The father said, since he was a child. And this spirit has often tried to throw him into the water and into the fire to kill him. But if you can do anything, please help us. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible if you can believe. The man creates the classic paradox. He says, I believe, but help my unbelief. How does one have belief and unbelief simultaneously? In your conscious, active mind, you believe. You hear the word of God. You see what God is doing. And you say, I believe. But before it becomes real to you, your unconscious mind reminds you, God hadn't done anything all these times. How's he going to do something now? So he says, I do believe. But I'm confronted with the fact that my boy has been like this for years. Second time this happens is when Peter was on the boat and Jesus is walking on the water in the midst of the storm. And with Peter's conscious mind, he says, if it's you, bid me come. And Jesus says, come. And Peter walks out on a 3% of his conscious mind. He steps out the boat and he's walking on the water. And the conscious mind lasts until the unconscious mind kicks in and says, hold it. You know what happens. You're a fisherman. You can't walk on water. The wind and the waves are enough to carry you off course. And the Bible says the moment he rationalized his situation, he sank. Where does that rationalization come from? The mind. There are people in your present that you are hurting because of people in your past that you've never dealt with. And so all the poison that you're giving to someone in your present originated in your past. But now you're older and bolder. So now you have the courage to say to the person you're with what you did not have the courage to say when those other people were hurting you. And until there is a purging of that old situation and a renewing of the mind, you will always punish the people in your present for what someone in your past has done. Yes, your soul is saved, but your mind is not. Your soul is saved and you are on your way to heaven, but your mind is still carrying the scars of your past. It is still carrying the rejection, the pain, the assaults, and there's been no healing. And Pentecostals love to just cast it away. Just give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Child, just give it to Jesus. I wish somebody would tell me how to give it to Jesus. I've walked with God for years, and every time I give him something, when I walk away, it goes with me. Against this seemingly hopeless situation, Paul is the only apostle, the only New Testament writer who uses the Hebrew idiom of taking off and putting on. He says, take off the old man that has its accompanying lust, problems, insecurities, neuroses, psychosis, and all of the other negative things that injure your present. He says, and put on the new man. In Pentecost, we love to model the taking off and the putting on, but what he was saying was, get rid of that old way of thinking. Start looking at things through the eyes of God. Jesus never said all things are probable. He said all things are possible. You see, some things will never work for you until the mind is changed, until you see it through the eyes of Almighty God. What is it that you want God to do for you? Perform this litmus test when you get home. Grab a pencil and a piece of paper and write down 10 things, 10 being a perfect number for God. And write down 10 things that you'd like God to do for you. And watch how that list evolves. Those 10 things will tell you what's in your heart. It'll tell you why God has not given you those things. And the reason that I declare you should write it is because hopefully we don't lie to ourselves. If I asked you to stand up and do it in church, I just want a closer walk with him. Well, what does that mean? I just want to feel his presence. What does that mean? I just want to love everybody I see with closed eyes. But what is it that you really want? In my closing, I call your attention again to Moses' repertoire with God. He said, show me your glory. I need to get deeper. I don't like this surface stuff. I'm tired of it. All right, you did all those miracles, but there's something in you that I want. And God said, boy, don't you write checks that you can't cash, but you pleased me. I can't let you see me in my full glory because the strength of my presence sucks all the air out of your place. I am so awesome that if I showed you how I truly am, you think that bush was on fire. You'd be on fire. He said, however, you pleased me. Now look over, look over. There's a rock and a cliff. In other words, there's a hollowed out section. I'm going to put you on that rock and I'm going to cover you with my hand. See how big God's hand is? He covered him with his hand. He said, and while my glory passes by, I'm going to move my hand so you can see my glorified back parts. But my face will remain unseen. Saints of God, you and I will behold the glory of God one day. We will see him face to face. No matter what you hear, when I get to see King Jesus, I'm going to sit down and lay down all my heavy burdens, going to shout and tell my story, how I come over hills and mountains. No, you're not. Then the other one, how I got over. My soul looked back and wonder how I got over. No. One glimpse of Jesus. You will look at him and say, oh my goodness, that's what the devil saw when I called on the name of the Lord. There will be no uncertainty. Why? Because your mind will be perfectly in sync with his. And you will learn the beauty of God's thought, which results in God's speak. Our minds need to be renovated. Sin has deformed our thinking. And it causes us to have moments of insecurity, self-pity, and an inability to move beyond the barriers placed in our lives by Satan and sin. If you think that you cannot do it, you will not do it. Ted Turner said that when he was a child, his father told him, "Do not have goals that you can reach." I thought, wow, how great is that? To keep having goals beyond your reach, to keep you reaching for something greater. Saints of God, don't just be comfortable that you're going to heaven. Be heaven on earth. Bow your heads. Gracious Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we approach your throne of might, majesty, and grace. Our thinking is a bit skewered In some areas, Father, it's no fault of our own. We grow up in an abusive, mentally abusive situation where we were not learned to think positively. We were not taught to confess the power of God. And so it became a habit, Father. Now that we are your children, we need to think differently. So help us. Forgive us for sin and wash us clean. Deliver us, Father, from those things that are injurious to us, those things sent by the devil to harm us, those memories, Father, that are filled with acid and pain. Help us, Father, to confront them and move them away so that we are no longer slaves to the effect of what happened to us. Heal us on the inside so that you may heal us on the outside. Deliver us from personal pain and personal injustice so that we may be instruments of your peace. Wherever, Father, we find injustice, help us to be mindful of your word that teaches us that we must speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves. In short, Father, we want our Christianity to be more than Sunday morning. We want it to be 24/7. And now, Holy Spirit, energize us that we will cast down thoughts that are contrary to you. Holy Spirit, wash us clean so that we may be true representatives of your grace and power. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Someone in here, Lord, does not know you in the pardon of sin. Their minds have been attacked by the enemy, and he's keeping them from seeing that Jesus died. Help them to see the answer is in the cross.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Challenging Your Thought Life, or the program number 03319P. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be viewed weekly on the Word Network Monday evening at 7:30 p.m. The Word Network is available on Files Channel 292. You can also view featured sermons on the Bethel Deliverance International Church YouTube channel. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Making of a Minister with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. returns on Saturday, May 11th at 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church. All ministers are invited to come out to be strengthened and equipped for the important task of carrying the Word of God. If you're seeking to grow in your call to the ministry, this session is just for you. Make plans now to join Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. as he presents clear strategies for developing meaningful sermons that edify the body of Christ. Again, The Making of a Minister takes place Saturday, May the 11th at 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, PA. Admission is free, but you must RSVP to attend. Call 215-885-2585 to register today. Again, that's 215-885-2585, or visit BethelDeliverance.org for more information. Ministers, we hope to see you for this essential time of ministry growth and development.